listening to the C Word Radio, the podcast where we ask, what the f*** does young cancer survivorship mean? With me, Helen King, and guests. Subscribe and rate on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Welcome back to the C Word Radio podcast. Today, our guest joins us from the very top of the Pacific Islands in Honolulu, Hawaii. Chanel is a fellow breast cancer survivor who went through a bilateral mastectomy after being diagnosed with bilateral invasive ductal carcinoma in 2019. Thank you so much for joining me, Chanel.
I am so happy to be here. I've been following you on Instagram for a while, and it's exciting getting to actually chat with you.
Ah, it's such a pleasure. And it's so funny because I was like, oh, we're kind of at opposite ends of the Pacific Islands.
Except your island is way bigger than mine.
Very true. I'm so glad you could join us. So let's go back a little bit and set the scene. I don't know about you, but I feel like there was life before cancer and there's life after cancer. And I think it's quite interesting to reflect on what life was like at that moment that you got those words. So what was Chanel doing in 2019?
Oh gosh, it was definitely a shock to my core. 2019, I celebrated my 40th birthday. Just that summer, my partner and I had gone on this huge Yellowstone vacation, and I invited like all my families and friends, and not everybody could show up, of course, for something like that. But I had a good 25 people meet us in the middle of Montana. So we were having such a great, just great life, just living life. We had planned to start conceiving in October. And I wanted to hold off because I wanted to drink for my 40th birthday. I was like, I'm going in hot springs and I'm getting drunk. So like, you can't do either of those if you're pregnant. Plan.
Yeah.
I had a life plan. We had a 5-year plan and it was about to cash in. I remember the day I went for my mammogram. I was so confident. I was like, no way. My maternal grandmother had breast cancer in her 60s and had a lumpectomy and survived and thrived until, unfortunately, something else took her a little too soon. But it wasn't breast cancer. And my paternal grandmother, she survived breast cancer, eventually had a double mastectomy. They got taken one by one because, unfortunately, she had a recurrence. But she was also a beautiful, like strong Black woman. And I personally feel that had she had better health coverage, then she would not have had that reoccurrence. She was a very strong, independent woman and raised 5 beautiful kids. And she went through her cyber shift alone.
Wow.
Yeah. So after seeing these strong women in my family survived this, there's no way it was going to happen to me. There was no way. And the mammogram sucked.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to suck, but it really sucked. And in retrospect, I feel like that's when I really triggered anything in my body, because a few days later, my OB called me directly. And she said, I need you to sit down. And I was like, what? What's she talking about? She's like, are you home? Are you going anywhere? I was like, no. And we had the most horrible conversation of my life. She's like, I need you to get a biopsy right away. So we're going to schedule you like 2 days later. I had my biopsy. And since that day, like everything hurt. Like I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any different. Like, she told me, hey, you have breast cancer. But I was like, hey, I'm fine. But when they cut into me and when they took those samples, like, everything was just pain after that. It was like I made the cancer angry.
Wow.
By touching it. Turns out I had 12 tumors throughout both my breasts. The largest one was, I believe, 8 or 9 millimeters. But I had these dense breasts and this hourglass figure. Nobody, like my OB, she was very adamant about giving me breast exams, and we did not see this coming. So yeah, life stopped. It didn't just change. It stopped dead in its tracks. I'm so thankful that my bosses were so supportive and I didn't have to take any extra sick leave or anything. I just was able to take the time I needed. But it happened so fast. They gave me a choice from, I believe it was maybe October 6th from the big news to our Thanksgiving. I had my surgery on November 27th. So in between that, life was just tests, blood tests, MRIs, CAT scans. And yeah, it was a whirlwind. And I think the biggest thing in my heart, what I can help the community is to help them advocate for themselves. Like we had chatted before about my chemo scare.
Yeah.
And how they told me that I would need chemo and I needed radiation. And it was so scary. And they scheduled me for a port surgery. And I was terrified. I was more terrified of getting that port installed than I was of the chemotherapy itself. I was like, I have so many wigs at home already. I already love wigs. I don't care if I lose my hair. But as so many people know, that it's terrifying. It's just terrifying. And I managed to no call, no show for my port surgery. But it was subconscious. Like I had it on my calendar. All of my caretakers knew, like my boss knew it was on the calendar, on the schedule, but I just slept past my alarm. My surgery was at 6 a.m. and I woke up at like 8:30 and I was like, oops. The doctors were like, it's fine. Let's get some more blood tests and then we'll reschedule. In that time, my oncologist did some more tests and ran me through this statistics system to figure out what kind of chemotherapy that I should be going. And it turns out I wasn't eligible. Chemotherapy wasn't going to help my type of cancer.
Wow.
So my body, in a way, like rebelled and said, no, we're not doing this because we don't need it.
Wow. That's so interesting. Is it because I feel like this is more common in the States than it is in New Zealand, where I have heard other people say they had a test and it told them what the percentages would be if they had chemo and whether it would be effective. But I feel like that's something that we don't really do here. So I'm so intrigued by this. Was it that it just wouldn't be effective or it just wasn't the best course of action?
It just wouldn't be effective.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's, it's like, well, maybe y'all should have collected that information before scheduling me for surgery.
Yeah.
Because it was stressful. It was a mental stress just trying to prepare for it. And then I would go online and I'd see all these beautiful thrivers and just your scars. It hurts me to see that other people have gone through it. I was so grateful, so thankful. Yeah. Radiation started that following spring and that was horrible, as many people can attest. Mm. We ended up having to stop 2 weeks out of my last session because I was just so burnt and I was bleeding, I was peeling, I was bleeding, I was cracking, and they said, you have to heal. We cannot do this to you while you have open wounds. That was a really dark place. I felt very suicidal. Hmm. It was lonely. It was in the middle of pandemic. I was thankful that I did have some friends that were able to come and see me, and everybody sent me lots of love. But you lose people.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you go through a trauma like this, and people that you thought were there for you suddenly disappear. It's like, hey, we were best friends for 20 years and You haven't even said, hey, how are you doing? I'm sorry you have breast cancer. Yeah, that just put me in a really dark place. And then that's when I discovered the Instagram community of breast cancer thrivers and purveyors. And it's such a beautiful worldwide community. It's amazing.
It is. And I feel like you've touched on something there that we don't talk about. And I think it's probably more common than people think. I felt similar at times. It takes you to a really deep, dark place. And it's really weird to think that, because on the one hand, you're fighting. And this, you have this internal fight that comes on and goes, nah, not today. No, this isn't getting me yet. I've got too much more to do. Thank you very much. But I feel like at the same time, the heaviness and the impact of treatment and the mental impact of what's going on, it's a lot to carry. And yeah, I certainly had times as well where it felt like too much and I didn't know how I was going to, how life was ever going to return to a place where I would be happy again.
Yeah. Long time.
I think that's something that I think would be really good to talk about, because I don't know what it's like in the States, but when you finish treatment here, you get signed off. For me, I got signed off from my oncologist because I didn't need to see him anymore. And I see my surgeon once a year for my mammogram and just a little checkup. But being a younger person, say you have to return to work or you might have other responsibilities. And so what I found was a lot of the support didn't suit that life, because it was during the day, it was a lot of older folks, because what I think in New Zealand, 8% of people diagnosed with cancer are under the age of 40. So you're kind of scrambling around going, how the hell do I now go and live my life where I feel like I am now a dumpster fire of emotion and grief and anger. So what have you done? What has helped you come to acceptance or feel at a better place?
It was really getting out of my comfort zone and reaching out to this community. When I was diagnosed before my surgery, I was offered a peer mentor through my health insurance, which I was excited about. And this was just before the pandemic happened. Yeah. I was lost. I really was like, oh, I wish my grandmothers were here. And then I went to go to our, they do this, I don't know how they do it in your side of the world, but what they do is they have this physician workshop. So they gather all of your care team, physicians, in one day, and all of their patients. So there were about 8 people in my group, in my workshop, and we would take turns talking to each doctor. So we'd do rounds. So everybody had 5 or 6 doctors, right? So we would just do rounds. Everybody would get 30 minutes with the doctor. They'd get pamphlets and such and so forth. And so the peer mentor is hosting this event for the doctors, explaining everything. And she's no peer. This is one of the things, like you had mentioned, that the percentage of breast cancer patients under the age of 40 is so low. So like, how is this nice 65-year-old woman who still has both her breasts and has had a beautiful life and a beautiful family and beautiful grandchildren, like, how is she my peer? And the way she looked at me, because I was also the youngest person in the room, surprisingly, just off subject, there were 2 men there. And that's important to know, that men do get breast cancer.
Absolutely. So
there were 2 men there in my group, which also, you're not their peer either.
No.
What is this? So after just giving up on my peer mentor and going into a really dark place and just having those dark suicidal thoughts, I went straight to Instagram because it's just a more positive platform. It took getting out of my comfort zone and really putting myself out there on Instagram. First, I tried to look up in my immediate area and I didn't really have so much luck. There are a handful of good places here on the island, but also like just hitting pandemic, like nobody's really offering anything because everybody's just trying to keep themselves healthy and safe.
Yeah.
I found several wonderful ladies and just started following them and like how they were coping. And I reached out to them and they reached back out to me. So I'm very happy that I've made a handful of friends on Instagram that I hope we get to meet up in real life. But it was really through other people's stories that helped me get through my own. And just knowing that I wasn't alone, because it is such a small percentage. You even go to these events, a lot of events, and you'll see they're all older women. They're all full lives. And I'm not downplaying anybody's cancer at all, but it's different. I don't have children.
No.
My future was cut. I had to figure out how to be okay with that.
Yeah.
In case it didn't happen.
And I relate to that so much. And I think it's been similar for me, where it has been peer groups. We're really lucky in New Zealand. We've got a charity called Shocking Pink, and it was started by women who got cancer in their 30s. That's been an amazing space to connect, and also definitely social media, just finding other people who have gone through cancer. It doesn't necessarily need to be breast, but just other younger people. Because they get this stuff. And I've realized more and more that for me, one of the hardest and most painful aspects of the impact of breast cancer for me has been infertility. Because what happens here, and I was really lucky because I was able to go through fertility preservation funded by the government because I hadn't had children yet and I was under 40. And I think the challenge with that is that you hold it up as the light at the end of the tunnel of, and people say it, and I know that they're trying to be nice because your team around you are trying to get you through this awful treatment. And so for me, it was always, okay, we've just got to get through and then maybe the things will be better and we'll be able to use those embryos and things. And oh man, like it just doesn't prepare you for the shitstorm afterwards where it doesn't work, or you realize that is probably not going to happen, and can you go through that again? And it's
a guarantee.
Yeah.
Heard so many people say, at least you have eggs in the freezers.
Yeah.
I don't have the $20,000 to get them fertilized. I don't have a surrogate or the funds to yay me. I got an egg in the freezer.
Yeah. And that's it, isn't it? It's very expensive to go through fertility treatment, whether it's monetary or actually the mental, physical, emotional impact of IVF. It's, oh man, it's really hard. And for the past, I think, year, a lot of the work that I've done has been around grief around not having children, because it's been, I think other people may relate to it, but I can't even articulate it. It feels like this deep primal wound. And it's really weird because I know that to be a woman or to be a adult, you're not defined by whether or not you've had children or not. And I know people who do have great lives and all of that sort of thing. The only way I can explain it is like in my situation, it was like I had been married previously and that marriage ended. And part of it was I realized that we were never going to have children because he didn't really want them. And I realized that actually I would like that as part of my future. And then to then meet someone that you think, I would like to have children with this person, and then 6 months later get aggressive breast cancer, the choice is taken away. And that's very difficult to navigate, because it's not like I've gone, actually having kids isn't for me, and so we'll just carry on with our lives and everything's fine. It's that I can't have them. It's really a difficult pain to carry sometimes. You're probably similar with the age that you are, is that people have kids.
Nearly all of my friends have children, and the ones that don't have children are the ones that don't want children. I have that primal wound because I was diagnosed with Graves' disease in 2017. And by 2019, I had gone into remission. So I had hyperthyroidism, and I was diagnosed with Graves' disease. My doctors told me, like, I'm sorry, we want you to go on birth control. We don't want you to get pregnant because there's a high risk that you or the child would not survive the term with everything that's going on with you right now. I spent a lot of work, like, trying to get myself healthy and trying to balance my hormones and my thyroid. And I am happily in remission from Graves' disease. But it seems like as soon as I got the green light that it was okay again, I was shot in the stomach.
Yeah.
Like, literally. And it was such a blow because it's okay. Now you're telling me again that it's, nobody's told me yet, thankfully, that I can't have children, but it's not safe to have children. So of course, breast cancer, radiation, all the tamoxifen, they told me you should wait. Let's freeze the eggs.
Yeah.
I'd always been ready to have children. I've never not wanted children. I've always been like the best auntie, and I've done volunteer work teaching first graders and second graders, and I was a babysitter all of my youth.
So yeah,
I'm really good with kids. And I just, to cope with the idea that I may not have my own family, and it was really hard for my partner to hear too. We actually went through a big thing this past year. We had broken up. He was, as a caretaker, he was stressed.
Yeah.
He had this woman that he wanted to make this life with, and we were going to have a family. But being a co-pilot on this cancer journey was too much for him. And it does look like we're getting back together.
Yeah.
Because he's taken some time to really think about things, and breast cancer or not, he's in it to win it. It wasn't just my sorrow with the infertility suggestions and subjects, but it was his sorrow too, because we had this life's plan, and just having to accept and change an idea of what's going to make you happy and just be okay with it. Just be okay with it. I'll never be okay with it, but I'm learning how to accept that it might not happen.
Yes. Yeah, I am too, which is, it seems to ebb and flow, I feel like. I don't know what your experience has been, but I really relate to something actually that you wrote in the pre-interview form, and I'd love to talk to you more about it if you want to. As you've said, you've had to confront your own bullshit. I'm like, yeah, me too. And I love this. I had to break my own generational curses to allow my scars to strengthen my purpose. Live for the future and let go of the pains of the past. Because, oh man, that really hit me hard, because I was like, that's exactly what has happened for me. And it's really interesting because I didn't realize it until I had this beautiful woman on the podcast last year, the lovely Naya. She's so lovely.
Oh, okay. We have to talk about her for just a second.
Yes.
Because she was the first person that responded to me.
Oh.
My angel.
Yes.
She is my angel. Naya's purpose. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, love you, girl. Love you.
I'll link to her in the show notes because she's such a beautiful person. I'm getting tingles. And she really talked about that too, was that, yeah, she had to confront her own bullshit. And that is what I've been doing too in these past 4 years. What I have found is that cancer brought everything up, and it was almost like the universe went, no more, you're dealing with this shit. Because,
yeah, we're going to deal with it now.
Yeah, we're dealing with it now. And what I've discovered is that it's layers. It's layers of my own stuff. It's layers of intergenerational trauma or curses, like whatever you want to label that. I think a lot of us do have intergenerational trauma that we don't realize how much we carry and how that impacts the way we are in the world. I think even in the past sort of 6 months, I've been doing a lot of, yeah, I guess work and stuff around really seeing who I am, where you pull back all the layers of labels that other people gave me and the layers of trauma and realizing who Helen is underneath all of that and letting her actually come out and be in the driver's seat. I would love to know what your experience has been.
Oh gosh. I recognized after going into my dark place that I needed to seek out a therapist, which was very hard also during pandemic because I had been seeing someone and Kaiser Permanente here in the state, they have a high turnover. I would get comfortable with a therapist and then they would leave. And I ended up having to settle for a telephone appointment with a life coach. Through Kaiser. Yeah. Elizabeth Anderson. She was amazing. And she, even though she was just doing Kaiser life coaching, she has all the degrees necessary to talk about all those other things. And she was really able to help me, like, really figure out, like, how I'm going to prevail through this. She helped me like recognize bad habits. It came down to me like really calling myself out. Is it because I'm just mentally exhausted or am I just being lazy? Because you don't get anything done when you're just being lazy. And I wanted to be something more. I wanted to be something beyond, oh, poor Chanel with breast cancer. I wanted to let go of anger. Like we had touched on triggers. We don't know what's going to trigger us after a diagnosis and dealing with all that trauma. And I had a lot of pain and anger from estranged family members. So it really forced myself to address that and to realize that I was causing myself more harm by harboring like these feelings about why haven't they called me. I know we haven't been the greatest of sisters, but like, why haven't you, like, if the tables were turned? But then it also comes to accepting, and it hurts.
Yeah.
But you have to accept that you are not everybody's priority. So you have to be your own priority. Like you can't be a victim. I'm sorry that somebody didn't do this or do that. But that's when we get back to being solid in our core identity, that it doesn't matter. I wish you well. That's not going to affect my whole week that I haven't heard from you for one incident. And removing those different layers of unnecessary grief and unnecessary energy. We spend all this time thinking, why haven't they done this? Or why haven't it heard from you for this? It sucks, but you just gotta let it go, let it flow, and just continue worrying about how you're gonna rise above.
Yeah.
And how you're gonna keep thriving. Because no one else is gonna thrive for you. You have to do it yourself. You really do. It's such a generic, like, I hate saying it out loud sometimes because it just sounds so silly, but you have to be your own advocate and your own best friend. You have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all this other chatter from the peanut gallery is going to get into your head and it's going to weaken your immune system. Not everybody's for you. And sometimes you grow out of people. And I think it's us holding on to these loyalties that really hold us back and really get us stuck in that mentality where we're not thriving, we're not growing, we're not expanding because we're just trying to maintain this for fuck's sake.
Oh, you swear it's fine.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Yes, 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 yes. And it's so interesting. You've said all that.
It's like, I feel so, like, I'm not trying to say like I'm some like woke person and I'm super self-aware. Like I'm learning how to let go of those invisible things that don't serve me and just trying to figure out how I don't need to be everybody's best friend, but if I can inspire you to just do something good for yourself,
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. And what you said before is what I've learned, and it's a very hard lesson, is that, and it's, I think this is a quote somewhere, so I'm probably paraphrasing or stealing someone's quote, but it's that thing, if no one is coming, like you have to rescue you. You have to be your best friend.
It's scary, but we can do it. Not to say that we should never ask for help.
Yeah.
Because that's important too. You need to find your balance. We got to try not to drown in that pity party.
Yes. Yeah.
You feel sorry for yourself. It's been a tough day. Nothing's going right. It's so cheesy, but you create your own happiness.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to be mad, if you think you're going to be angry, then that's how you're going to be.
It's so interesting to me because I think you hit the nail on the head there, where I think what I've been trying to do, and it's so uncomfortable and it's painful and awful and mucky, but I made this decision. I don't know how much longer I have on this earth, and I don't want to be stuck in the past. I don't want to be stuck with these feelings. I have learned that you do grow around grief, and it will always be there, but it's a matter of growing around it and then how you process it. And I have had this, I've basically lived with this underlying sense of sadness and just dullness since cancer happened. And it has taken so much inner work these past few months to shift that a little bit. And it's been mucky and uncomfortable because I think, as we've been saying, it's been about pulling back those layers, pulling it back and going, what is the source of this hurt? Where is it? What is it telling me it needs? Yeah. So I could go on a big tangent there, but I really relate to that.
A lot of that is projection too. You have to watch that. Are you projecting an underlining issue? We overthink a lot of it.
Yeah.
When we need to be present. We just need to be present. We don't need to think about what they said before, what's going to happen in the future. Just be right here, right now. Therapy really helps with those layers and identifying, like, how to untangle everything. But it's hard to find that right person to talk to. And for me especially, it was important to find a professional to talk to because I do have lovely friends who will listen to me talk about everything or anything, but I didn't want to burden them with like always having to be that soundboard. It got to the point where like I didn't have anything good to say when I was around them because I was just so miserable.
And
I recognized that I needed an outside person. I needed that therapist. I needed someone to talk to about those negative things in my life so that I could be present and there for my friends, like there for me. That's another reason I was so happy with all the resources that I did find online. So.
Absolutely. It's a concept that someone else has talked to me about, of having your healing round table and what that can mean for different people is, you may have a therapist. My experience with grief especially is that has been a very physical thing. But one of the most powerful tools that I've learned is that it's almost like my grief needs to be moved through and removed, if it makes sense. And so it's things like I had a great session with actually a person I had as a guest, Katie Roster, which I'll put her link in the show notes as well, because she deals a lot with grief. And that was one of the biggest steps for me, was learning that it will be things like dance and making art and moving through things. And that has been, so important for me to find something else. It's been through massage because I hold so much tension and I have pain from my mastectomy. Some of it's been a little bit wacky woo woo, and this may not be other people's choice and you may not agree with it, but some of the stuff has been great for me. Like, I've been to a couple of things where it's just women and it's like a circle. It's like that thing of women coming together and just holding space for each other. And that's been amazing, you know, connecting back in with that kind of feminine power. More recently, I've tried breath work, which has been a pretty powerful thing. There are so many things out there that can help you. Like, it can take a lot, but you just, like, you put together that healing round table.
like you said too, it's important to process what you're feeling. You have to figure out a way to process the grief, process the anger, process the hurt. And don't get me wrong, processing doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to go away.
Yeah.
But you learn how to work through it so that when it comes in those waves, you're not just devastated and just give up on life.
Yeah.
You know what works for you and work through it and process it and just that ebb and flow, just let it go.
I've found that sort of collecting the things that work for me has been the biggest lesson for me in this past year, even in the past 6 months, to be honest, like really going, okay, I just can't keep going feeling this thing. It, how the fuck do I shift this?
I feel you. I feel you. In January, when my partner broke up with me, I was floored. I was like,
yeah.
It was 8 years and wow. We'd gone through cancer and we've gone through a lot. And it felt like he gave up on me at the finish line. And just six months earlier, I had talked with my oncologist and really let her know I really wanted to start trying to have children. I wanted to family plan. I was ready to start talking about family planning. And we had talked about stopping the tamoxifen early because I've been giving good blood tests and going ahead and trying to conceive this winter.
Yeah.
And then the breakup happened and I was just devastated. And at that moment, I was like cancer didn't take me down. This isn't going to take me down either. And that was truly that was the moment of truth. You know, I had done all this like self work, healing work, and it was hard to get through, but I refused to let anything else take me down. Coming up on my 3-year cancerversary, so just to think about these past 3 years and so much has happened, and it just seems nonstop. And I know a lot of people feel that way. Like, when does it end? does it ever end?
Yeah.
A lot of people, they go through the surgery, they go through treatment, and then your friends and family are like, okay, congratulations, you beat cancer. It's like, actually, for now.
And now the hard stuff.
And now the hard stuff, all the aftermath that people don't talk about. That it's okay, you supported me through treatment, but like now I really need you.
Oh my God.
All's the time that I really need you to show up for me. I've been out of treatment for 2 years. Like now I need you the most to keep me on track and to keep me motivated and to just, a lot of people just, they write it off at the ends there.
Yeah.
But like there's fertility issues, and my doctors won't even say remission until it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And that's one of the scariest things.
Oh my God. What does survivorship mean to you?
No longer taking life for granted. That is the hardest question. It is leaving that legacy for those of us who didn't make it through. And it is saying yes to the things you love and saying no to the things that no longer suit you. So that's a pretty loaded question, but I think all of the above, just basically making sure that you're living life how you see fit, not holding back and just appreciating those little things. I know that it's easier for me to say growing up in these beautiful Hawaiian islands and being so loved by our community out here. It's not like that for everybody. A lot of people can't just walk outside if they're having a rough day. Some people live in the middle of the city in tiny little apartments. And it's just so important. I've come to find that you have to really dig deep into yourself and you have to make sure that your core identity is strong. There's so many things going on in life and we spread ourselves so thin, whether you're a mother or not. And especially in our community with our breast cancer survivors and thrivers in this world, we put ourselves on the back burner. So I've come to learn, if you can get comfortable with yourself, and if you can just love yourself, then everything else just rolls off your back. If you can be secure in that you're going to put yourself first and that you're going to love yourself every day, by all means necessary, then all those other little troubles, no matter where you are in the world, like, you'll see that beauty.
I appreciate you sharing this with me and with the audience. So thank you so much for being a guest and sharing the story.
It was my pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. The C Word is every Sunday at 11:55 a.m. on Auckland 104.6 Planet FM. And anytime at www.planetaudio.org.nz/the C Word. I swear I will be better than I was. I thought that I was special. We will be together. But I've never been so wrong. Now, low, 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 low. I swear I will be better than I was. I thought that I was special. We will be together. But I've never been so wrong. Tell me what you want. I'm low, 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 low. I swear we'll be better than I was. I thought that I was special. We will be together. But I've never been so wrong. My heavy heart is broken. And now you tell me that yours have opened. Anyway, baby, it's so much. And I feel just like a foolish. I am now a stupid loser. Now, low, 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 low. I swear I will be better than I was. I thought that I was special. We will be together. But I've never been so wrong. Tell me what you want. I'm low, 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 low. I swear we'll be better than I was. I thought that I was special. We will be together. But I've never been so wrong.
Bye.